It says, "Kol mi sheyirtza yavo v'yitol." The Torah is sitting and waiting for anyone who wants it. So, thank you all for wanting it this morning. Okay, this is actually a letter of the Chazon Ish. It's printed in the Igros Chazon Ish, in the letters of the Chazon Ish. But they put out a number of years ago a volume called Divrei Torah al pi HaChazon Ish, arranged according to the Parshios. So they put this letter, which really comes from the first volume of his letters, letter number 208. They put it here, and it's just written up. It's just spaced out a little bit nicer, a little bit easier to read. So instead of reading it from the Igros Chazon Ish, I thought it would be kedai to read it from here. But it's an important letter, and the Chazon Ish is writing to someone who I guess apparently had written something about the Jews in Mitzrayim, and had offered some type of position about what he thought was the state of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And the Chazon Ish is reminding us that the Jews in Mitzrayim were really not worthy of Geula. Really, really not worthy of Geula. I told you the other week that the word Pesach itself, one of the translations is Chamal. Pesach is a Lashon of Rachmanis. And one of the questions we have to grapple with every year on Pesach is, you know, why should Hashem save us? Why should we expect Mashiach? Why is that realistic? Are we worthy of Mashiach? And you know what the answer is? It doesn't really matter. They weren't worthy of redemption of Mitzrayim, and Hashem had Rachmanis on them. So on Pesach, it's very realistic for us to hope for Hashem's mercy. Okay? So, Chavra, let's go through this piece. He goes through many Ma'amari Chazal to make his point. But again, it's very Kedai. And at the end, he has one other Yisod, Gadol, in Avodas Hashem, that it's Kedai to work through the whole piece just to get to that last page. Okay? So let's go very quickly. We'll go through the piece. B'nei Yisrael shiyatsu me'mitzrayim lo hayu ru'uyim l'gula. The premise of the Holy Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, is that the Jews were not really worthy of redemption in Mitzrayim. And yet they got out. And that to me is the biggest chizik in the world. They got out. So when you look at current events, and you look at, you know, your own religiosity, and you look at the state of Klal Yisrael, and you look at world affairs, and you wonder how can Mashiach possibly happen, don't fret. Don't be nervous. Show up to the Seder with the confidence in the possibility of Geula, of the Geula Shlema. Chazon Ish writes to this fellow, Kasafta, I saw that you wrote, She Yisrael b'mitzrayim hayu b'madrega hayoyser gedola b'torah b'mitzvos. You tried to make the case that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were actually very fine Jews, ve'amuna uvechasidus, believing Jews, pious Jews. And you supported yourself with the Medrash that says that the Noshim Tzidkanios would go out to the field, and they gave birth to children, and they were zocha to see unbelievable miracles in giving birth to those kids. First of all, the confidence the women had to continue to have kids despite Paro's gezerah, and the wondrous miracles that protected these Jewish babies. So you kind of developed a thesis, whoever he's writing to, and I'm not sure who he's writing to, you built some type of thesis around that to say that, yeah, look, the Jews were worthy of miracles. The Jews were very holy in Mitzrayim. And they had, again, this magnificent protection of their children in the fields as the women were giving birth. V'kasavta, and you wrote, Devadai al yedei tzidkanios elu, v'yedei hanisim elu. There were so many righteous women, and they saw so many wonderful miracles. Nasu kol Yisrael mesurim l'Hashem l'mitzvosav. So I've seen it many times. Right, a person gets married, and often one spouse will have a hashpa, will have a tremendous hashpa on a person. Right, so I remember a particular Talmud that was in our shir many years ago, and he was, you know, he was okay, I would guess, in terms of his own, you know, religious commitments, but not super strong. And he married a very, very, very nice girl, very frum girl, and she set the tone. And he became much stronger in his Avodas Hashem. So maybe, says the Chazon Ish in response to this fellow, you wrote that the Jewish women, because they were so dedicated, you know, to continuing to have children, and they were Nashim Tzidkanios of that generation, and they saw amazing miracles, the whole family probably became much more religious. The Jews in Mitzrayim were fine Jews. And furthermore, you brought the Medrash Shir HaShirim. She'ikr shibudan shel Yisrael b'mitzrayim hayapeivav shana bavad. The primary years of servitude were the 86 more difficult years of Golas Mitzrayim. V'savar ata she'ein p'nai liskalkel b'shanu mu'atos elu. And come on, how much, if the Jewish people were doing okay, if the family of Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim and they were frum, and Yosef was a tzaddik in Mitzrayim, and for only 86 years, we talk about 210 and 400 years, Lamaisa, 86 years was the harsh slavery in Mitzrayim. Those were the real years of suffering, 86 years. Right? From the time that Miriam was born, things got mar, vayimaru es chayehem. 86 years was the main shibud. So come on, you wrote, come on, how much could a person go off the derech in 86 years? How much could a nice Jewish family fall apart in 86 years? Right? It's not realistic that in such a short amount of time that they could be miskalkel, that they could become so broken in such a short period of time. So the Chazon Ish says, b'mechilas kvod, this individual, whoever was writing this, you know, shtickle Torah about the state of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, says the Chazon Ish very strongly, kol hadvarim halalu ein behem mamish. Your presentation of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim is not correct. You know, it's like the art scroll biography of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. Right? Everyone's a tzaddik from a young age. Again, I'm not picking on art scroll. I love art scroll biographies. They fill my bookshelves. And then I think that critique is sometimes not even fair. Right? But okay, there's a certain style of, you know, of writing history where you focus on all the good points. And you ignore some of the lesser points. Again, I only feel that I have the chutzpah to even say such a thing. I'm not, God forbid, speaking Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom. But the Rav Huttner wrote that when we speak about the true story of the ups and downs of tzaddikim and the process by which they became tzaddikim and the ups and downs that they went through, we walk away more inspired. Meaning, if I paint the picture of a Klal Yisrael that was perfect in Mitzrayim, that somehow they held on stark throughout, it doesn't give me chizuk because my real life is ups and downs. So I don't want to paint this perfect picture. I want to paint the picture of Jews who were really struggling, and yet they got out of Mitzrayim, and yet they got to Har Sinai, and yet Hashem took them to Eretz Yisrael. That, to me personally, I find that much more inspiring. That's where Rav Huttner writes in his famous letter. I think it's 128. Rav Huttner writes that the Chafetz Chaim, in becoming the Chafetz Chaim, struggled with Shmiras Halashim. You know, he wasn't born the Chafetz Chaim, like every other normal person. Speaking Lashon Hara is something you have to work on. So there's ups and downs. And eventually he refined himself in that character. So Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, he says, Mechilas Kvod, this author, whoever wrote this Torah, this essay, whatever it is, it's not true. It's just not true. The Jews in Mitzrayim, you could look at a little Maimar Chazal here and a Maimar Chazal there. They were holding on by a thread. Ein Bahem Mamish, Shem Kulam Neged Divrei Rabbeinu Zal. Most of the Mamari Chazal paint a picture of a Klal Yisrael who are mamish falling apart, spiritually collapsing. For example, it says in the Medrash Shemos Rabbah, the Medrash says, Lo Hayu Yisrael Ru'uyen Linatzel. We did not deserve to be saved. Pesach is a Lashon of Rachmanis, Chamal, Chemle Gedoyla. What's the best type of Mar to eat, Chavra? What's the first mar on the list? What's the first mar on our list of mar? The best type of mar is what we call chasa. Chasa is lettuce, romaine lettuce, right? We said the five mars are in order of preference, and the best mar is chasa. Right? The best mar is chasa. Chasa is a lashon of what? Of rachmanis, right? Chus v'racheim aleinu. The whole story of Pesach is a story of rachmanis. It's Hashem looking at a broken Klal Yisrael and saying, I'm going to have rachmanis on you. But that, to me, I find that very inspiring. When I'm an ikvus of the Mashiach Jew, and so are you. We're Jews in 2021. We're Jews at the end of time. We need a lot of chizuk. So we don't want to paint the picture of a Klal Yisrael that you know, even though they were suffering, they were mamish, the starkest Jews of all time. They were learning stark. They were davening. They were still from. We want Jews who were struggling, spiritually struggling. And yet they were saved. That's a chizuk for us. Lefi shahayu rishayim, they were unworthy. It was bizchus avos nigalu. They were saved in the zchus of what? Of those who came before them. Listen to the psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. Listen to these psukim. It paints a very raw picture of the state of Klal Yisrael. Va'omar aleihem. Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael, Ish shekutzi einav hashlichu, uvegilulei Mitzrayim al titamu. Throw away your despicable things, right? Shkutzi, your disgusting things. Get rid of your avodah zara, gilulei Mitzrayim. the detestable things of Egypt. Don't be metame yourselves. And you know what Bnei Yisrael did, says the Navi Yecheskel? When I was screaming at them, when Hashem was screaming at them, get rid of your Avodah Zarah. Get rid of your Avodah Zarah. Come back to who you're supposed to be, because they were not who they were supposed to be. Vayamru vi v'lo avu lishmo elai. But they rebelled against me. V'lo avu lishmo elai. They didn't want to listen. Ish es shkutzei einehem lo hishlichu. Everyone clung to their taivas. They held on to the disgusting things. V'es gilulei mitzrayim lo azavu. And they literally would not put down their idols. Explains Rashi over there in Yecheskel. The pasuk says, "Ve'yam rubi," they rebelled against me. Heim harishayim, rubam shel Yisrael shemesu b'shloshes yemei afela. Chever, remind yourself that most Jews died in Mitzrayim, and the small percentage that got out were not the biggest tzaddikim. So the ones who didn't make it out must have been really bad. K'deisa b'tanchuma b'shalach, you know the famous medrash, chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. Rabbi Nehorai Amar Ha'avoda Echad Mechamesha Salafim. Rashi says Chamushim means 1/5 got out. But then there's an opinion in the Medrash that says 1/50th got out. An opinion that 1 out of 500 got out. Rav Nehorai said Ha'avoda. That means like, it's a lashon of like Shua. It's like, you know, like, you know, OMG, what are you talking about? It's much worse than that. 1 out of 5,000, 1 out of 50,000 got out. Most Jews, the overwhelming majority of Jews, couldn't even get out of Mitzrayim. The Medrash says further, Lo yatsu mi Mitzrayim, elishnayim mi samech ribo. Rabbi Nehorai has an opinion elsewhere that maybe a tiny, tiny percentage, 2 out of 600,000. Again, the numbers, you know, historically we have to figure out how it works, right? But certainly what Chazal are emphasizing it was not simple. There were very few tzaddikim who left Mitzrayim. Shehu atzadikum miut katan ma'od, a very, very small percentage of Jews. The Jews were deeply, deeply entrenched in Egyptian culture. They were clinging to their Avodah Zarah. The Navi Yecheskel says, Hashem was screaming at them, put down your Avodah Zarah, and the Jews couldn't let it go. The Pasha couldn't put it down. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, says the Medrash, on the Pasuk in Dvarim, Hanisa Elokim Lavo Lakachas Goy Mikarev Goy. Chever, listen to these words. This is what the Medrash says in the words. Hashem extracted us as a Goy Mikarev Goy. A nation from within another nation. You know what that means? It wasn't an Am Mikarev Goy, says the Medrash. It was a Goy Mikarev Goy. What does that mean? What's the difference between an Am Mikarev Goy and a Goy Mikarev Goy? Goy Mikarev Goy means that we were a nation that was what? That was sort of part of that nation. We weren't a separate entity dwelling in Mitzrayim. We had become interwoven with Mitzri society to the point that what? That it was hard to tell the difference between us and them. Melamed shahayu areilim ve'elu areilim. Right? These ones were uncircumcised and these ones were uncircumcised. Elu megadle blurius ve'elu megadle blurius. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about a certain type of Avodah Zarah hairstyle, where you grow out your like ponytail, right, and then you shave it off. You grow your hair long and then you shave it off to give to your Avodah Zarah. It could have something to do with the, you know, remember years ago there was that Shetel controversy about Shetels being made up of Avodah Zarah hair. You guys were too young when that happened. How many years ago was that? I remember in my younger years when I played in a Jewish rock band called Omek HaDavar. So when we were recording our first album in the studio in Union City, New Jersey, so there was this guy who worked in the studio who had like this really weird, very guyish haircut. So me and my brother used to call him Blurious. Like, we didn't call him to his face, obviously, but we used to call him Blurious, right, to remind us of, you know, this was like the Avodah Zarah ponytail that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about. Okay? So in Mitzrayim, the Jews had guyish haircuts. The Jews didn't have bris milah. The Jews were entrenched in Egyptian culture and society. The Jews were idol worshippers. So says the Chazon Ish, listen, you could point to the Mamari Chazal that say, you know, they were big tzaddikim, nashim tzidkanios, but let's be honest. Most of the Jews were not even getting out of Mitzrayim. They were so bad, they were stuck in Mitzrayim. V'cheinu b'medrash rabba v'yikra parsha chav gimel, piska gimel, many midrashim that emphasize this idea. Lilamedcha kishemes Yosef, when Yosef, the one who's Shmiras HaBris, died, Hofru Bris Mila, the Jews stopped getting bris milah, and they said, they openly declared, Niyeh kemitzvim, let's be more Egyptian. Let's try to blend in a little bit more with our neighbors. Maybe they'll like us better. The Ramban in Parshas Bo, Minei Adua, Shehayu Yisrael b'mitzrayim ra'im v'chata'im ma'od. The Chazon Ish goes on and on, collecting for us examples of Ma'amari Chazal, of Rishonim, who say that the Jews were totally involved. And they would have been stuck in Mitzrayim had they not learned to cry out to Hashem. Hayoroi shiyas arich yosar, elishitzaku v'herbu b'tfila. I want you to remember that the night of the Seder is a tremendous night of tefillah. There's actually very strong and special connections if you think about the Purim story and what was happening, and when you know how they canceled the Seder in order to fast, in order to prepare for Esther to go to Achashverosh. The tefillos of Klal Yisrael on the night of the Seder are unbelievable. Can mamish save, you know, can save Klal Yisrael. So, in the same breath, the Ramban says, okay, they davened and it saved them. But really, in terms of their merits, they deserve to stay in Mitzrayim much longer. They didn't deserve to be redeemed at all. Or how about the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam describes how Avram Avinu came to recognize Hashem, and how Avram was able to get Klal Yisrael on a proper path, right? But the Jews in Mitzrayim, after Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov kind of led the Jewish people down a proper path, they fell apart. The Jews went to Mitzrayim and they completely fell apart there. She'aruchu hayamim liYisrael b'Mitzrayim, chazu lilmod b'maaseyan. They learned from the Egyptians. They came to serve Avodah Zarah just like them, with the exception of Shevet Levi that stayed from. So therefore, friends, we have to realize the Jews of Mitzrayim were not the finest Jews. Remind me at the end, if I don't tell you, I'll tell you according to the Satmar Rebbe how they got out. Satmar Rebbe has a diuk in a Rashi, which I'll share with you at the end. Remind me. But the Chazon Ish is saying, don't think it's not fair to present Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim as being a bunch of tzaddikim. V'adayin yesh lanu ladas, but we still need to understand. Ha'im shishim ribo shiyatsum Mitzrayim hayugam kein rubam tameim betumas Mitzrayim, o shayu tzaddikim meikar. But what about those Jews who did get out of Mitzrayim? You want to tell me 1 out of 5 got out? You want to tell me 1 out of 50 got out, 1 out of 500 got out. But whatever it is, the 600,000 at the end of the day who did leave Mitzrayim, it's a sizable amount of people. So the question is, those who got out of Mitzrayim, so let me ask you, were they at least righteous? Were they at least the good Jews, so to speak? V'nei adavar mevuar, mikan atalamed shemosha malam b'yitziyasim Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, gave them bris milah as they were heading out of Mitzrayim. If you would have told me that the Jews who didn't have bris milah died during the 3 days of darkness, and those who were still alive were those who were circumcised, so why is Moshe so busy giving bris milah? It must be that even the Jews who left Mitzrayim had rejected bris milah. So to speak, the good Jews were also not circumcised. Vadavar yoser mevuar. That Kev and Shiro Yisrael, Shapusal La Rela Melechola Pasach, Omdu Kol Yisrael, Leshakala, Umalu Kolavdeim Ubinayim. What happened? When Hashem told them, if you want to eat Karban Pesach, you have to give yourself a bris milah. So they said, all right, fine, we want to come to the barbecue, so we'll get a bris milah. Right? Hashem convinced them to get a bris milah so that they could come to the big barbecue on the way out of Mitzrayim. But if not for Karban Pesach, if not for that pressure, you can't eat, an Ariel can't eat Karban Pesach. Okay, fine, we'll get bris milah. The Jews got up and they started giving out bris milah to everyone. So Rav Aseinu Amru, lo bikshu Yisrael lamul. They didn't want to get bris milah. They wanted to be like Egyptians. Chutz mi shivto shalevi, with the exception of Shevet Levi. That's why at the end of the Torah, when Moshe gives a bracha to Shevet Levi, he says to Shevet Levi, he says, ulalevi amar tumecha v'urecha, Levi, you were the pious ones. Kishamru imrosecha, uvrischa yintzaru. You were the only ones who kept Hashem's commands. You were the only ones who stayed from. You were the ones who kept bris milah. But everyone else, they didn't do it. So what did Hashem do? Hashem had to come up with a way to get them to get a bris milah. Right? So Hashem says, okay, go tell the Jews that they need to get a bris milah. Right? And they didn't go for it. They didn't want to do it. Until finally Hashem said, well, if you want to eat Karban Pesach, you need to get a bris milah. All right, fine, we'll get a bris milah. These were not the most inspired Jews of history. And the Jews didn't even get a full bris milah. The Jews who left Mitzrayim were not even fully circumcised. So, however, if you have a bris milah, you're already on a certain level. Your body is more Jewish than the Jews on the way out of Mitzrayim. They had their long ponytails. They were not even fully circumcised. Right? When they finally even got their bris milah, it was just, you know, not for the best of intentions. They didn't have schusim. They didn't have very much at all. And like we said, they were idol worshippers. The Jews in Mitzrayim were idol worshippers. The Medrash says, "V'chein atamotze b'Yisrael, kishahayu b'Mitzrayim hayu ovdim avodah zara." Don't paint a rosy picture of the Jews in Mitzrayim. The Jews in Mitzrayim were ovdim avodah zara, v'lo hayu ozvenosa, and they were not so quick to put it down. We read the Psukim in Yechezkel. Again, v'omar aleim ish es shikutze einav hashlichu. Throw it down, get rid of it. V'yamru bi v'lo avu lishmo elai. And you rebelled. You wouldn't listen. You couldn't put it down. Ish as shikutze einayim lo hishlichu. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, kol zman shi'Yisrael oivdim le'lohei Mitzrayim lo yigalu. You got to convince them to just drop their weapons. You know, put down your avodah zarah. Put down your avodah zarah for a couple of seconds. Lech v'amor lehen she'anichu ma'asei an harayim. Just let go at least. Deny the avodas kochavim at least, and then maybe I can yank you out of Mitzrayim. Hadhu dechsiv mishchu ukechu lachem. Mishchu yedecha mi'avodah zara. Release your hands, draw back your hands from avodah zara, and then kechu lachem tzon, and then you can take the Karban Pesach. Then you can shech the Egyptian god. But all of this, again, says the Chazon Ish, clearly indicates to us that what? That those Jews in that generation, that our ancestors, were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'yem ha'yotzim ha'yu tzedikim ve'elzim ikadam. So if you'll tell me that what? That the Jews who left Mitzrayim, no, these were the finest Jews, they were the ones who were from all along, and only the bad Jews, so to speak, died during the days of darkness. So then why is Moshe begging them to get a bris milah? And why is Hashem still reminding them as they prepare to bring the Karban Pesach, the Jews who survived till the end of the story? Why is Hashem still begging them, put down your Avodah Zarah? Again, you're probably wondering at this point, why did 4/5 die? What separated that 1/5 from the 4/5? Right? What separated that 1 out of 5 or the 1 out of 50? So let me tell you now what the Satmar Rebbe said. The Satmar Rebbe said, if you look at Rashi, when it describes Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Yisrael, when it talks about those who died in the days of darkness, right, and those who didn't, if you look at Rashi carefully. Rashi says a lashon. Rashi says that the ones who died during the days of darkness, lo ratzu, they didn't want. Those who didn't want to get out of Mitzrayim died during the days of darkness. The key to getting out of Mitzrayim is not necessarily merit. Because sof kol sof, as we're learning here, many ma'amari chazal, no one had the merits. The Jews didn't have the merits. They didn't have the schusim. They didn't have bris milah. They were over the avodah zarah. But there were some Jews who at least had a ratzon to get out of Mitzrayim. They had a desire. There was a part of them that said, Hashem, we want to get out of Mitzrayim. Right? They were still addicted. They couldn't put down their avodah zarah. They were still entrenched in Egyptian culture that Hashem had to pull them out, goy mikerev goy. Goy mikerev goy, to yank them out of Mitzrayim. There's a beautiful Oev Yisrael from the Apta Rav. I shared it in Shul the other week. The Oev Yisrael said, if you look in Chazal, there's three different descriptions of what it was like to get a Jew out of Mitzrayim. What was it like to pull a Jew out of Mitzrayim? So one description is like a bird caught in the hand of a hunter, of a trapper. Another opinion is like a baby calf inside of the mama calf. Right? So, you know, to help the mother cow give birth, the farmer has to stick his hands in and kind of pull the cow out. He'll pull out the baby calf. And the third opinion is like what? Is like a block of gold, which is in the furnace. And Hashem stuck his hand into the furnace to pull out the gold. So the Apter of the Oiv Yisrael, whose Yartzeit just passed, the Heilige Oiv Yisrael said, what are these three mashalim? Rishayim, Beinonim, Tzadikim. Tzadikim, Beinonim, Rishayim. Tzadikim is the mashal of the bird in the hand of the trapper. What is the relationship between the bird and the hunter? Do they have any relationship? There's no relationship between them. It happens to be at this moment, right? The hunter, the trapper, came and he closed his hands around the bird. He has no inherent relationship with the bird. He happens to be holding him hostage right now. The second he opens his hands, the bird's going to fly free, and the bird will have no relationship ever again with what? With the one who had him trapped. What about the baby calf and the mama calf? Two separate entities, right? But there's more of a connection. After all, the mother created this baby calf. The baby calf was nurtured within the mother. That represents the Beinonim. The tzaddikim are like the bird in the hands of the trapper. No relationship. A tzaddik, sometimes a tzaddik could also be held hostage. The Baal HaTanya also went to jail. The Heilige Rishner, Rav Yisrael the Rishon, also went to jail. Tzaddikim sometimes get arrested by enemies. But they have no shaychus. They don't deserve to be there. And they get out. Then you have the mashal, again, of the baby cow inside the mother cow. Where there's much more of a relationship. But then the third, so that represents the Beinonim. The Rishayim are like what? Are like the block of gold. The block of gold were what? Where until it's put into the furnace, it's a mixture of pure gold with all of the dross, all of the unrefined parts, all of the unrefined metal that clings, that mamish is one with the block of gold. And even for those Rishayim, Hashem stuck his hands into the furnace to pull out, so to speak, the pure block of gold. The Kur HaBarzel, as Mitzrayim is referred to. Right, as the furnace to refine Klal Yisrael. Tzadikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim. So, Chaver, there was a great tzaddik who lost his life at the end of the Holocaust. Anyone familiar with this sefer, Eim Abanim Smecha? By a show of hands, who's heard of it? Who knows what this is? You've heard of it? Good to see a couple of people raising their hands. That's good. It's an unbelievable sefer. A beautiful, beautiful sefer by Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal. Amazing tzaddik. What an unbelievable sefer. He describes his appreciation for Eretz Yisrael that was developed over the course of his experience, seeing the suffering of the Jewish people during World War II, and how he had tremendous charata that more frum Jews weren't involved in the founding of the State of Israel, or in preparing, settling the land of Israel. Obviously, it was before the state, right? But working to restore Eretz Yisrael to its glory. And to build a Torah atmosphere there. It's an amazing sefer. It's an amazing sefer to read all year round. And again, to see how this Chassidus Yid was able to come to an appreciation for Eretz Yisrael in a way that was not so common, certainly in certain circles, is a remarkable thing. But he writes here in the first chapter, in the first parak, he quotes this Apterav that I just mentioned a moment ago. He quotes this Oiv Yisrael. And he quotes a Rashi, in Parshas Nitzavim, an amazing Rashi. Rashi says, right, on the Pasuk that describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to gather us in at the end of days. Now, let me read you the Pasuk. Pasuk in Nitzavim, Perek Lamed. Listen to this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha es shvuscha v'richamecha. Listen carefully. Hashem will bring back your captivity. V'richa mecha, have rachmanes on you. Hashem will have mercy on you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol la'amim. Hashem is going to come and gather you from all the nations. Asher hafitzcha Hashem lokecha shama. Wherever you've been scattered, Hashem is going to come and get you. And Rashi explains over here that the day of Geula, gathering in every last Jew, is going to be kasha. It's going to be difficult. The Rashi describes the koshi ha-Geula, how Hashem is going to have to travel all around the world. And obviously nothing's difficult for Hashem, right? But on a certain level, it's difficult for Hashem. Hashem is going to have to go one by one to find every Jew and bring him or her back. And says the Eim Abanim Smecha, in reading this Oiv Yisrael about the three different mashalim, the bird in the hand, the baby calf and the mama calf, and the block of gold where again, all of the impurities are one with the block of gold. And then reading this Rashi in the Tzav about Hashem coming one by one, selecting the Jews and bringing them back one by one, like the Navi Yeshaya says. He says, it seems to me, here's what he writes here, it appears to me that the verse, I'm reading the English, it appears to me that the verse mentioned above, and you will be gathered up one by one, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which implies that Hashem with his own hands must actually seize each person from his place, alludes to this third category. That is the wicked Jews, who are so entangled and absorbed in the depths of the klipos that Hashem will have to grab them by hand and deliver them from their utter immersion in the exile, a result of their adherence to the ways of the Gentiles. Hashem's going to have to, the third category is the category of Jews that have to be gathered in at the end of the day. So we're category three. We're at least as bad, and I'm not, God forbid, you know, saying bad on Jews. But on a certain level, there's a reality that we're at least as bad as the Jews of Mitzrayim. And yet they got out. And the Satmar Rebbe says because they had a ratzon, because they were at least willing to grab Hashem's hand. When Hashem yanked them by the hand, they were willing to at least grab on and come along for the ride. Nu Yaakov Wider, what's your kasha?
I was going to mention, when Rebbe spoke about, I'm trying to, which part it was, that all Bnei Yisrael had to do was want to leave. I think Rav Moshe Weinberger kind of spoke about it. Rav Weinberger spoke about it about the Bnei Yisrael just wanted, they just had to want to go. Hashem, he said, like Hashem said, like, all you have to do is just want to go with me, and that's all you need to do. So that just reminded me.
Right, I'll carry you out. I'll carry you out. I'll carry you out. You just have to grab onto Hashem's hand. Yemincha pshuta lakabel shavim. You recognize that phrase from our davening, especially the Yom Noram? Your mincha, your right hand is outstretched to receive those who want to return. Just grab on. So these Jews did not have schuyos. They had to be talked into bris milah. They had to be begged to drop their avodah zarah. And yet, somehow, the Jews who left, these were the good Jews, so to speak. Right? These were the good Jews who left. They had to be begged to be taken out of Mitzrayim. So, chevra, it was not a simple thing to leave Mitzrayim. It was not a simple thing for them. It's not a simple thing for us. But don't convince yourself that our unworthiness is going to stop us from getting out of Mitzrayim. That's a mistake we don't want to make. We don't want to convince ourselves that it's an impossibility for us to leave Mitzrayim. That we're not worthy of leaving Mitzrayim. Our avos were idol worshippers. Our avos were idol worshippers. Okay? We just have to have a ratzon to get out of Mitzrayim. Okay, let's finish up the piece. Says the Chazon Ish, Va'amnam, al yidei yitzias Mitzrayim asu kulan tshuva, v'nis'alu aliyah achar aliyah, ad she'egia l'malas nevuah shero aliyam. But chever, very quickly things can change. If you have a strong ratzon is one of the most powerful things in the world. You see people who have a ratzon, people who are driven, people who have a desire to achieve something, and they'll do anything to get it. There's a guy in my neighborhood, I don't know if I mentioned this, there's a fellow in my neighborhood who about a, I don't know, it was a year ago or so, maybe a little more at this point, he quit his regular job to be able to start learning basically full time. He has also something he does on the side, but basically learning full time. He's an amazing guy. He's able to, and he figured out a way that he's able to afford to be able to learn full time. And he's a Baal Teshuva. He's someone who you know came to Frumkeit a little bit later in life, and he said to me when I asked him, you know, when he first was leaving his regular job, which was, you know, something in the business world to be able to do this, I said to him, you know, it's so exciting that you're finally, you know, I know you've wanted for a long time to be able to have more time to learn. I know you feel like you need to catch up on a lot of your learning, etc. So he said to me, no, you don't understand. He said, for 14 years. Since for 14 years, since I first, like, you know, found out about Torah in a serious way, for 14 years, every time I daven Shmona Esrei, and you should see how this guy davens, I promise you won't forget it. He says, every time I daven Shmona Esrei, I beg Hashem, I ask Hashem to have this chus to be able to sit and to learn Torah full time. 14 years straight, I've been davening for it. And it became his reality. He does it now. It's unbelievable that a person could have such a ratzon to want something so bad, to never give up on it, and I will keep asking for it until Hashem makes it my reality. It's not a simple thing. So the Bnei Yisrael had to want it. They had to want to leave Mitzrayim, right? They were struggling. But there was a part of them that really wanted it. And very quickly they became Balei Tshuva, Aliyah Achar Aliyah. They grew very quickly to the point that they stood by the Yamsuf. Zekeli Vanveyu, they saw God. It was unbelievable. They were ready to hear a voice of Hashem and Matan Torah. Vora davar mavura, the Medrash tells us further, miyad, im kabbalas besura sagaula, galu hatzadikim es rasheim shahayim machusa. Immediately they were able to what? To hold their heads up proudly, the tzadikim amongst them, who were few and far between, namely Shevet Levi, they were able to start inspiring the people. Very quickly things were able to change. Don't paint the picture of Jews in Mitzrayim who were so great. They were not great at all, but you know what? They were able to change very quickly when they wanted it. And that itself should inspire us. That, you know, how am I going to get? I'm going to be able to get to Geula. I'm going to get to Mashiach. It's not realistic. Chevra, you have to respond to the Malachim Aves, to the Samael, to the Satan, to the Zahara, and say, it is realistic. It was realistic for them, with Hashem's Rachmanis, and it's realistic for us. Let's wrap up. Va'od Mavuar. B'shah Shiyatzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim Omid Samael. The Malach Samach Mem. The Malach of Ra stood by the waters and was Makatrik. And he said, it's not fair. Amar Lefan of Ribono Sha'olam. Ad Achshav Hayu Eilu Ovdei Avodah Zarah Va'ata Korei Alehem Esayam. Until now they were idol worshippers, and now you're about to split the water for them? And the answer is yes. Until now they were idol worshippers, and right now they're starting over. Right now they're grabbing my hand and they're leaving Mitzrayim. The Zohar says in Parshas Emor, Usvartem Lachem. We count Sfiras Omer. Mai Ka Mairi, what's it referring to? Yisrael Kad Havim Mitzrayim Havim Bereshusa Achera. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they were in the Reshus of the Sitra Achra. And therefore they needed to count, what? 7 weeks? Like a nida, like a woman who's a nida, counts 7 days of purity in order to go to the mikvah. The Jews needed to count themselves to purity. But again, chevra, it can be done. It absolutely can be done. Okay? Last but not least, and this is a really, really, really important point. We come to the last page. Mashikasavta dahayu bisrael mischatnim ha-mitzrim. Biosu mitzrayim zahotzah shemra. Okay, that which you claim that the Jews may be intermarried in Mitzrayim is not true. Chazal say absolutely not. That was actually one of the things the Jews got right. Okay, fine. Uma shenira lecha she'i efshar sheyaskalkalu Yisrael kevan shero hanisim shel yaldei hatzadkanios ze'eino. That which you claim, and listen to this carefully, this is a really important point. That which you claim, going back to the first page, when the Chazon Ish began his letter, his response to this fellow who wrote that the Jews in Mitzrayim could not have fallen apart so terribly in 86 years. After all, they saw miracles. They saw that the righteous women were able to give birth to children, and those children were protected in a miraculous way in the fields. That which you claim, that the Jews saw miracles, and that itself would prevent them from what? From becoming bad Jews? Ze'eno. And listen to this point. I remember the first time I read this from the Chazon Ish. I was still teaching in TABC at the time. And I used to often tell this point to high school kids, because you'll hear this sometimes from a high school kid. You guys are more mature, although it might pop into your mind also. But it's a very high schoolish type of thing for a high school boy to say, Rebbe, you know, I say to a kid, you should, it's time for you to start doing more of this, more of that. And he says to me, Rebbe, it's so hard. If I would see an open miracle, then for sure it would be so much easier for me to whatever, right? If Hashem told, you see a kid, he's struggling to put on his tefillin. He doesn't put on his tefillin. Lo aleinu. It's a terrible thing. Don't put on tefillin. Put on tefillin. What kind of Jew doesn't put on tefillin? He doesn't put on tefillin. Okay. Doesn't put on tefillin. This kid's struggling. So you say to him, come on, tzaddik. It's time to start putting on tefillin. At least for a couple of, put it on, say Shema. Put it on for a few seconds a day at least, Tefillin. Bind yourself to Hashem. It's such a holy thing. The Gemara says it's a very serious avera to be a karkafta de lo manach tefillin, to be a brain without a skull without tefillin on your head. It's a bad thing for a yid. It's a really bad thing. So put on tefillin. So he says, it's hard for me. Listen, it's hard for me. We live in a time of Hester Panim. If we would see open miracles in our time, then I'd be a frum Jew. Then I'd stop speaking Lashon Hara. Right? Then I'd be Shomer Nagia. Then I'd start wearing tefillin. Then it would be easier to remember to make brachos. If I heard a baskel from Shemayim that says, make a bracha before you eat, then I would never forget to make a bracha before I eat. But I never saw miracles. If I saw miracles, I would never go back. Right? You got to get up. Got to get up in the morning to daven. It's hard for me to wake up in the morning. If Hashem would tell me to do it directly, then I would do it perfectly for the rest of my life. I would never slip up. I would never mess up. If Hashem told me, watch your eyes, guard your eyes, I would never look at something I shouldn't look at again if I heard it directly from God. Chevra, it's not true. Miracles don't change a person. If you see open miracles, that is not a guarantee that you're going to forever be changed and you'll always make the right choice. And the Chazon Ish says it so simply. Daharei ra'u nisim v'niflos v'yasiyas Mitzrayim. The Jews saw awesome miracles. We saw Kriyas Yamsuf. We ate the man. We experienced the Be'er. We stood at Har Sinai and heard God speak, and yet, Asu Ha'egel. They chose to make an Egel. Now I understand that a Chet Egel is not a simple Aver, it's a complicated Sugya. But the bottom line is, there's no guarantee if you hear God speak, if you see an open miracle, that you're not going to be a Baal Taiva anymore. Now all of a sudden you'll have perfect control of your Yetzirah. You know it's wrong to do Averos now, and you still do them. You still succumb to that temptation sometimes, even though rationally you know it's wrong. So you think, oh, but if I saw God, if I saw a miracle, if I heard Hashem speak to me directly, not the Torah saying, Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. If I heard a baskel say, Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, then it would be easy for me. It's not true. Vayu asara nisim v'mikdash. The Jews in the times of the Beis HaMikdash saw miracles in Beis HaMikdash. V'har be nisim v'neflos al yedei ha-neviyim. The Nevi'im performed unbelievable miracles, and yet they're screaming at Klai, so I'll stop doing Avodah Zarah. The miracles don't stop a person from having free will. You could still know the truth and still make bad choices. So, Chevra, and this is really a powerful chizik for us. We're living in a time of tremendous hester panim. We don't see miracles at all. Not certainly the open ones that are described in the Navi and in the Torah and the times of earlier Doros. But says the Chazanish, so what? That's going to stop. If I saw miracles, I'd be a frum Jew. So what? You could see miracles and still not be a frum Jew. Shayu Doros harishonim ba'ofi shabilti afshari lanu lahasig shum musag mehem. We don't have to be busy trying to figure out, well, what was that like? It doesn't matter. The bottom line is this. Aval hayu habechira chafshis. Shezo ikr avodaso yisbarach. The bottom line is becoming a frum Jew is a choice. A Jew could be on the 49th level of Tumah, or even the 50th level of Tumah, before Mashiach comes, and you have to have a ratzon to get out of Mitzrayim. You have to want to grab onto Hashem's hand. Even if you saw open miracles, you still would have to make the right choice. And that's the difference between the Jews who made it out and the Jews who didn't. Right? They were not tzaddikim. There were some nashim tzidkanios, and yes, there were some miracles, and yes, there was Shevet Levi, but most Jews didn't know what to do with themselves, but they had a ratzon. They had a ratzon. They knew they were unworthy. They said, we have zchus avos. And yes, maybe I'm a Baal Taiva. Yes, maybe I'm addicted to my Avodah Zarah. Whatever, each of us in our own way, whatever our Avodah Zarah is. I'm addicted to some Avodah Zarah that I'm struggling to put, but I could say in an honest way at the Seder, Hashem, get me out of here. I put out my hands, you know, during Hallel, and I'm hoping that Hashem is just going to reach out and grab me and like pull me across the finish line. That's what gets a Jew out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so again, on the one hand, it's a very depressing letter from the Igros Chazon Ish, but to me, I think it's a big chizuk. I think it's a reminder that if you feel like, how is it shayach? What am I hopeful for? How is Mashiach realistic at all? I'm not holding by that. Neither were the Jews in Mitzrayim, and Hashem had rachmanas on them. So try the best you can to throw down your avodah zarah, to grab Hashem by the hand, and to march back to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, with the Gula Shleima, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen. No.